Did I do it again? I won't say the first part over. You know that every scripture sets forth the glory of our Lord and Savior. You know that. When our Lord was on the road to Emmaus, two of His disciples, beginning with Moses, all the prophets, He showed them Himself. And their heart, they later admitted, burned while He opened Scriptures. You know, when the Lord opens the Scriptures to our understanding, our hearts truly burn. I'd like to try to look at a passage of Scripture this morning, an amazing passage of Scripture out of Judges 11. And I invite you to go back. I asked Brother Sammy to read starting in verse 29 to the end of the chapter. But I invite you to go back later and read this chapter. And I want us, as we consider this blessed passage of Scripture, seeking the glory of our Lord and the redemption of His people. Lord, show us Yourself. Just as a matter of bringing you up to, I want to, for the sake of time, I want to give you just a little bit of history to bring you up to where we're going to start this morning. There was a man named Jephthah. And he was born, the Scripture says, to a harlot. And later his daddy married and had sons by his wife. And the brothers or half-brothers or whatever, you know, of Jephthah, the ones that were actually born to Gilead, Jephthah's daddy, his wife, they didn't want Jephthah to share in the inheritance. So they cast him out. So they didn't want him to be around. So he went and lived in a place called Tob. Stayed there. Well, in process of time, the king of Ammon approached Israel and demanded that Israel give the land that God had given to Israel. Ammon said, that's our land, and we want it back. Well, the elders of Israel and those that had thrown Jephthah out. Jephthah was a mighty man, valor, Scripture says. And so the elders approached Jephthah, said, we want to know if you'd come back and be our captain, kind of lead us. And Jephthah reprimanded them, told them, said, you didn't want me before. And they said, yeah, we want you now, though. And so he agreed to come back and to lead the people. Well, he sent an ambassador to the king of Ammon. And he tried to reason with the king of Ammon and tell him that, you know, this we weren't the ones that took this land from you. You lost this land to another king, Sihon. And whenever the Lord delivered us out of Egypt on our way to the land that God had promised us, we tried to bypass this land. The Lord had instructed us not to fool with people in this land. All we wanted to do was cross over, go to our land. That wouldn't have it. And King of Sihon was fearful. Now Sihon had conquered this land that belonged to the kings of the people of Ammon. Sihon conquered them. And then these Israelites come and they're trying to circumvent. They're going to be obedient. They're not going to try to go in and disturb. But Sihon, who had taken the land from Ammon, Sihon was fearful of Israel. And so Sihon is going to take on Israel. They don't want them to be around. Well, when Sihon raised himself up, the Lord delivered Sihon into the hands of the Israelites. And now this land that God had given Israel is the land in question. Now Ammon is coming back now to Israel and told him, said, "You took that from us." Jephthah now, who has stood as the captain, beautiful picture of our precious Lord. Jephthah says, No, wait a minute. No, we didn't take that from you. Sihon took it from you. And God gave us the land from Sihon. And what the Lord has given us is ours. Well, Ammon's not going to hear that. Ammon is going to go ahead and take on Israel. He's going to take on Jephthah. Now here's where we are. Jephthah now, as he stands as the leader, the captain for Israel, is going to stand against Ammon, who now has raised himself up to take this land back. And now we find ourselves. That's the history of what is about to transpire right here. And in this passage of Scripture, Brother Sammy read, I pray the Lord show us deliverance. Deliverance from all that oppresses the people of God. What's the message? Where's the gospel in this? And while we see this man Jephthah, one of the judges in Israel, may the Lord show us the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in our redemption. Verse 29, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And we find now that our Lord raised up this judge, a beautiful picture of our precious Savior. God's Spirit was upon him. I know this, God's blessing, God's mercy, God's leadership. But what a picture of Him who has ever stood for us, who possessed the Spirit without measure. The one who knows, the one who's able. And now we're going to see how is God Almighty going to deliver Israel. A picture of His true Israel. How is He going to deliver Israel into the hands of those that oppose Him? Well, I know this. Jephthah, and the faith that he had in Almighty God was exhibited in the vowing of a vow. Jephthah approaches the Lord. And he says in verse 30 and 31, Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands. It shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Jephthah, in his desire for God's intervening power in the victory of Israel over the enemies of God's people, bound his soul to the Lord with a vow. He promised, he vowed, when I come back, Lord, if you will surely deliver all that opposes your people. Lord, if you will surely give us victory, I vow, I promise, I give you my word, binding myself with a vow to you. Whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's. Whoever comes out is yours. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. The burnt offering in the Old Testament, that was the Lord's. That was that sweet savor offering of the glorious obedience of our precious Savior. The burnt offering was only for the Lord. The priests shared no part in it. Some of the offerings they could enter in. They could partake. Not the burnt offering. That's the Lord's. All the Lord's. The sweet savor of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. And Jephthah vows, Lord, if you give me victory, whoever comes out, whatever comes out, yours. It's all yours. It's only yours. Whatever it took to defeat the enemies of God's people, to establish righteousness, was established by an everlasting covenant, a vow. David said, 2 Samuel 23:5, although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, a pledge, an allegiance, a testament, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation, all my desire, all of my hope is in God's promise, God's Word, God's truth. Here, this man, Jephthah, he absolutely rested in God's providence. Jephthah knew by faith, back in Hebrews 11:32, by faith, the faith of God's elect, Jephthah knew that Almighty God ruled in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He knew that He ordered all things, that nothing moved without God's permission, God's order, God's hand, God's power. And he knew that Almighty God was going to direct and provide the sacrifice. Lord, whatever you demand, this is what he said by that vow. Lord, whatever you demand, whatever sacrifice you desire, Lord, you that moves all things, Lord, whoever comes out of that house is at your instruction. Lord, I'm asking you for the deliverance of Israel. Lord, I'm asking you for the deliverance of your people. Lord, you've raised me up. Lord, you made me a judge. Lord, you've given me a desire to ask. And Lord, I'm asking you, whatever you demand for the sacrifice, whoever comes out of that house is yours. And Lord, you're going to order whoever you want. Whenever Isaac and Abraham was going up on the mountain to sacrifice, Abraham told those fellows that was with him, was keeping the donkeys there, he told them, he said, y'all stay here. He said, the lad and I are going to go up. And we're going to worship God. We're going to worship God. And Abraham knew. The Lord had already told him, I want you to take your son. You take Isaac, your only son. Son that I gave you. And you take Isaac and you offer him unto me for a burnt offering. And Abraham, the Scripture says, knew. God's able to raise this boy up. God had already promised that through this boy, the lineage of this boy, the Savior was going to come. And he knew this is what God demanded. And they're walking up that mountain. And here's Isaac, the apple of that man's eye. And Isaac said, behold, the fire and the wood. Well, where's the lamb? For a burnt offering. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And Jephthah laid everything to the Lord's feet. He said, Lord, whoever you send, they're yours. I'm asking you for victory. Lord, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to deliver Israel? Verse 32 and 33 says, so Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them from Aroer even till they come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Here we see the faithfulness of our God and the deliverance of Israel. Victory was sure. God's not going to fail. Victory was wrought. Now we're going to talk about the price. What was the price? What was the price of Israel's deliverance? What sacrifice for a burnt offering does God demand? Now we're going to see in a beautiful type this daughter, the daughter of Jephthah, is a picture. The daughter of Jephthah is a picture, is a type of our precious Savior. His daughter. What's it going to take? Verse 34 and 35 says this, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. She was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. And thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." I know this. What does the Lord demand in the deliverance of His people? What sacrifice did Almighty God demand for the deliverance of Israel, the true Israel, God's Israel? I tell you this, it had to be a precious sacrifice. Victorious Jephthah returns. He made a vow unto the Lord. "Lord, whoever you send, whoever you provide, whoever comes out of the house, Lord, that's the sacrifice. That's the one you provided." And this was Jephthah's only child. Seeing her, his heart was brought low. But the Scripture says he put his hand to the plow and he cannot look back. "I've opened my mouth unto the Lord. I cannot go back." The Lord has spoken providentially. And Jephthah knew that all he had was what God demanded. His precious child. Proverbs 23:26 says, "My son, give me thine heart." His only child. What's it going to cost? It's going to cost all you've got. That's what it's going to cost. All you've got. So, well, didn't Jephthah have anything else? That child was all he had. What would you keep for one of your children? What would you not give up for your own? Samuel, what would you keep in exchange for one of those girls? Oh, how we behold the love of God toward His people in the establishing of their peace. What did it cost God Almighty? Man, we talk about free grace, and oh, thanks be unto God for free grace. But there was a high cost for free grace. For God so loved the world, the arrangement, the order of mankind. Not all of them out of this world. Because He didn't pray for all of them. He said, "I pray not for the world, but for those You've given Me out of the world." But He loved this order. He loved the order of man. God so loved the world of His people that He gave His only begotten Son. The only one coming forth from the Father. The only begotten, the only one. Romans 8:32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him and Him alone, also freely give us all things?" Lord, what sacrifice do You demand? It's going to be a precious sacrifice. It's going to be all that You have. All that God Almighty had in His Son. Here's the second thing I know God demanded. The sacrifice of Jephthah's vow. What does God demand in that burnt offering? It had to be a willing sacrifice. Verse 36. Jephthah walked up to her and told her. He said, "I've opened my mouth to the Lord. I can't go back." Verse 36, "And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon." Here was Jephthah's precious daughter, his only child. But all the miracle, the wonder of the willingness of that girl right there, a picture of our Lord, willing, it's like God's people, willing, made so in the day of God's power, told her, he said, "I've opened my mouth unto God. I've asked for the deliverance of Israel. I can't go back on it." She said, "Father, you've opened your mouth to the Lord. You do to me what you've vowed." Of our precious Savior, John 17:2, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Do all," is what he said, "to me, according to our everlasting covenant of grace in the redemption, in the salvation of our people. Do to me that which is demanded." He who was made sin, forsaken of the Father. He who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He that would turn his back on his only begotten Son and under indescribable wrath and justice, that which was due the elect. He said, "You glorify me. You do that which is absolutely right." What does God demand? He demands a willing sacrifice. And our Lord, willingly. Here's the next thing I know. That sacrifice that was demanded of God was to be a pure sacrifice. Verse 37. "Then she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows." Jephthah's daughter was a virgin. She was pure. And I know this, not in the sense of being without sin. I know that. But her virginity was a beautiful picture of the preciousness and purity of our Lord and Savior. Set forth Him in type who became us, who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. And she went to bewail her virginity, knowing that she would not be the one through whom the Savior would come. All knew. They knew that the Lord was going to cause a virgin to conceive. The Savior, through a virgin, was going to come forth into this yard, into this sheepfold. And she knew, not going to be me. This pure virgin. What does God demand? Holiness. Holiness. I know this next. The sacrifice that God demanded was one that was going to have to be trusted. Look at verse 38. After she said, let me go up 2 months that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months.
she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains.
Now you think about this. Jephthah had vowed a vow unto the Lord. He couldn't go back. I can't. I can't go back. And she said, Father, as you vowed a vow unto the Lord, you do to me what you vowed. Willing. She said, let me go up and bewail my virginity. And she knew. She knew. She knew what he'd vowed. And you know what he said to her? You go. You go. He trusted her. He never, not even recorded, that he ever doubted his daughter. Didn't doubt her. What a picture of our precious Savior. He knew his daughter and he trusted her. Knowing what he had vowed unto the Lord, she said, you let me go. And he said, okay.
Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained inheritance.
We've obtained inheritance.
Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ.
The Father trusted him.
Everything, his glory, his purpose to show mercy and compassion,
God's honor,
God's will, the redemption of his people, the fulfillment of that everlasting covenant, all that God Almighty had ever promised according to his word, all of it in the hands of the surety.
Put all of it
in his hand. All power in heaven and earth given to him. Everything put in the hands of the Son. Why? That he should give eternal life to as many as the Father had given him. And the Father trusted him. Trusted him. Let me read this Psalm 138, verse 2. I love this passage of Scripture concerning God's Word and God's attitude, may I say it that way, concerning his Word. Listen to this. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Above all your character. I read that, Brother Henry, and I'm lost in the wonder of that. You've magnified your word above everything else. Above all your name, your character, your holiness, your word. My word will not return unto me void. It shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. He trusted his Son, who first trusted in Christ. This girl right here has a beautiful picture of our Savior in type. Her daddy trusted her. You go. And I'll tell you the next thing about this sacrifice that the Lord demanded. The sacrifice of Jephthah was faithful. Look at verse 39 back in Judges 11. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. She came back knowing her fate. This pure daughter lived and died faithful to the vow made by her father. It's a beautiful type of Christ. I've had a lot of people ask me this question. They said, "Do you think that Jephthah truly did what he vowed?" Well, I'm going to say this. According to the wording of this scripture, I think he did. Some said, "Well, I think that she was just left to be a virgin." Well, I'll tell you this. For sure, her obedience to the fulfillment of Jephthah's vow satisfied God's requirement for that vow that was made. And the vow by faith, I know, concerning our Lord for sure, was ratified by blood. Justice was satisfied. He said, "I'm a just God and a Savior." Our Lord said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." That was the last point about the sacrifice that Jephthah was required. It was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. The sacrifice demanded of Jephthah and his daughter was a remembered sacrifice. 4 days a year, it was custom, they went to remember. I told some of you this. I told Brother Henry the other day, I'm going to tell you, if I've already told you, that's okay. Before Brother Scott died, I was at my study one day and he came in with a pocket knife. It was a nice pocket knife. He walked in, he sat down, he leaned over and he handed me this knife. And he said, "I want you to take this knife so that you can remember me when I'm gone." And I said, "Brother Scott, do you really think I need a pocket knife to remember you? But do you know, every time I reach in my pocket, or every time I open up my drawer where that knife is and I see it, I think of him." Our Lord, we remember our Lord in the taking of the Lord's Supper, don't we? You might say, "Well, that's just a little old piece of bread and a little old cup of wine." But do you know what? Every time we eat and we drink, we remember him, don't we? And this morning, as we assemble ourselves together in the remembrance of our Lord and His sacrifice, He was a precious sacrifice, a willing sacrifice, a pure sacrifice, a trusted sacrifice, a faithful sacrifice. And He's a remembered sacrifice. Living in our hearts, by faith, we remember Him. Lord, bless these words to our heart today for Christ's sake. Amen.